In case you're not familiar with the story of Lot, and if you aren't, grab some popcorn, here's the Cliff Notes version. So God hears about some shifty things going down on Earth and sends two angels to Sodom to destroy the city.
Upon arrival, the angels were welcomed into the home of Lot. But an aroused group of homosexual men demanded that Lot send these strangers out to them so that they could rape them. Lot refused, so they attacked him on his front porch. The angels pulled Lot to safety inside the house and smote the entire mob with blindness.
The angels forced Lot's family to flee and issue a grave warning not to look back lest they be consumed. Lot's wife actually looks back and thereby becomes a pillar of salt. Lot and his daughters eventually retreat to live in the mountains. The two daughters get him wasted, then both daughters lay with him and become pregnant. Whew. Okay, that was a lot, and that was just the Cliff Notes version. But we'll get further into the details of this story in a moment. For now, I'm curious how the story is interpreted in modern times. What do we think of Lot and Lot's wife today? A lot of this interpreting happens in movies, TV, and sermons. So let's do a quick YouTube search.
Lot was a man of good intentions. But let me tell you something, my friends. Good intentions will not save anybody, will it?
The tragic story of Lot and his worldly wife.
Pause. Wait, rewind.
The tragic story of Lot and his worldly wife.
Lot and his worldly wife.
Keep listening for the crusade subject entitled Remember Lot's Wife.
Here's another example.
Can I preach like I feel it? When God puts somebody over you, like a husband or a leader, it's your responsibility to follow that leader because you're following God. Miss Lot, Sister Lot, you ain't doing nothing to your husband when you don't follow what God told you.
Okay, so that's how I heard the story growing up. And maybe you heard something similar. But if you're listening to this podcast, then you already know the deal. We got some digging to do. So, my name's Genie, and this is Scripture Unearthed.
This one breaks my heart. So, Lot's wife was born in Sodom, presumably. We don't know mm-hmm. where she's from, but we don't hear about him finding her somewhere else, and that's mm-hmm. where he lives, and then suddenly he's got a wife there.
Right?
So, I don't want to call her a sodomite because that would take us into a different area, but she's a sodomer. And in the text, Lot offers to save these quote unquote angels, daughters, right? Sort of for horrible reasons. And then he has to go and talk to his sons-in-law. So it's quite possible that he has other children, possibly other daughters who live in Sodom and don't leave with them. And so Lot's wife is leaving everything she's ever known. She's possibly leaving her children. Her husband just offered her daughters to a crowd to be mass raped. And she's the problem? Really? Really? And we'll get into the details of the text, but it's not clear to me that she was told not to look back. And so it's just hard for me I have daughters, right? Like, what would you do? Oh my gosh, you know? And so for the issue about this chapter to be about homosexuality or to be about materiality or to be like, what the women in this story go through is so everyone's worst nightmare. There's no sympathy anywhere for any of the women, especially the daughters who end up, you know, getting dad drunk and next thing you know, they're pregnant. Oh, oops. I hate it when that happens. Right. But even their reasoning for that could be contextualized of it's not clear if they think that there's no other people at all in the world or if there's no one who in a million years would touch them with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
And this way they get children. Right.
But regardless, they're moving forward.
They're moving. Like
they're getting the ball rolling.
Right. Like, you know, we've got to have something in our lives mm-hmm. other than this. Right. And so but none of the women are ever depicted, portrayed mm-hmm. positively With a few exceptions. I think Lot's wife gets picked up in some stories, especially Shoah Holocaust related, right? As your world is being destroyed, how can you not look back, kind of a thing? Especially,
really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, because it's opposite from my upbringing. You know, I was listening to podcasts on the way here, but I also have this gospel playlist because I grew up a good old Southern Baptist boy. So like some of that stuff is, some of those good old hymns are shut up in my bones, as the old saints would say. Basically, some of these old hymns are like the same chords and same progressions, and we just swap out the lyrics. So this is one of those good old songs where they swapped the lyrics. And the lyrics were something like, it was like a, I know my Bible is right. Somebody's wrong. I said my Bible is right. Oh, somebody's wrong.
I know the Bible is right. Somebody's wrong.
I know the Bible is right.
Somebody's wrong.
Oh, somebody's wrong.
Somebody's wrong.
Oh, somebody's wrong.
I think a song like that, what it does is it establishes a dichotomy of understanding,
absolutely,
as opposed to a spectrum of understanding.
Correct.
And this is one of those texts where details have been forgotten or lost, and it establishes a staunch perspective of truth. Mm-hmm. And as we know from the last podcast, maybe there is no capital T truth.
Right, right. Is there capital T truth? And especially with the biblical text, there is this notion that in order for so-and-so to be right, so-and-so has to be wrong.
Right.
Right. But is that always the case? And in most situations, it's really more of a, I'm a big fan of the spectrum as
absolutely
opposed to, you know, polarizations. I'm trying to get rid of the binary. None of these characters are, you know, problematic as I find Lot to be. He's not sort of evil. You know, he's just, you know, maybe subpar, right? But again, it goes back to this notion of life is hard. What do you do,
right?
And
yeah,
so when things are good, it's always easy to do the right thing, right?
Right.
Because, you know, we're in Job again, right?
Yeah.
But when things get hard, then what happens, right?
Right.
And it's not always easy to know what the right thing is. And sometimes you do what you think is the right thing. And, you know, we find out that that was actually the wrong thing, right?
Right.
And so that is certainly at play in this text.
Why do we even cut to this story? Like, if this was a movie, you know, you cut from like from one scene and you intercut with another stressful scene. Like, why do we cut to this story at all?
So that's a really good question. And it doesn't make very much sense. In chapter 14 and 15, you have this weird thing with these foreign kings. They come and they kidnap Lot, and then Abraham has to save them, right? And so this chapter 19 sort of ends the line of Lot. Like, after this, we're sort of done hearing about him.
Right.
And so this may be, and it's also at the end of chapter 18 that Abraham learns that he's going to have his own son. So up until this point, one might be able to argue that Lot is a potential heir to the promise.
This is a big deal.
Well, it's a really big deal, especially for this text, because the deity makes Abraham do all this stuff, right? Like,
right,
it is
right.
not promised to Abraham. It is promised to his descendants, and there aren't any. And so it's only in chapter 18 that you have these angels, presumably the same ones that show up in 19, showing up to Abraham and saying, by the way, the deity wasn't kidding. You're actually going to have a kid, and Sarah's going to be the mother of it, and that's going to be, you know, your heir, and it's going to happen
right
next year. And by the way, I'm also going to destroy that city
right.
in the same breath, right? But this does two things. One, it ends the line of Lot, presumably because if he had any children left in Sodom, they're gone. And then the daughters have these children. And what's interesting is the descendants of those daughters become the Moabites and the Ammonites, right? And
right.
Ironically, the Moabites are like this big no-no, and
mm-hmm.
yet they also are simultaneously the ancestors on on one side of David. So Ruth
is
a Moabite, and so she's a descendant of a daughter of Lot, and the older one is
who has the idea.
She's the idea girl. And anyway, so she's the ancestress of the Moabites, and Ruth is a Moabite, and Ruth is the ancestress of David. So this brings Lot back, not to Abraham, but to Terah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
My mind is blown. I did not know that.
When you sit down and make all those connections, you go, oh my gosh.
Right.
So this chapter is really important, but it still feels like an outlier. A lot of people argue too that these funny stone farm, like when you drive down
you've seen
near
them.
The Dead Sea, right? They're like, oh, this is Lot's wife. And there's
one's called Lot's wife.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It is. I don't think it is. not to hurt anybody's feeling who's selling merchandise next to that stand. That's pictures
that's
of Lot's wife, right?
Doc.
Right. So I don't want to destroy that. But it allows Genesis to say, we're not going to talk about Sodom anymore, but now you know why the area of Sodom looks the way it does. And then when we meet the Moabites later on, we know who they are.
Let's hop into chapter 19 of Genesis.
Okay, let's do it.
We know how it kind of fits into the overall story and framework and how it could explain, David's origins. Let's see what's going on there.
Okay. All right.
So our goal is 1926, but we kind of have to go through everything
for
that to have any meaning.
Okay.
So let's just do it like class, I guess.
All right. So we start out with two, they're called messengers and they're translated as angels. So they show up in Sodom. And of course, in the previous conversation, Abraham had this debate with right, and he's like, I'm going to destroy Sodom. He's like,
whoa,
50. And then he gets him down to 10.
Good bartering.
Right.
Good job.
He's buying a rug. It's Middle East, right? This is what you do. And so these angels show up. But again, an angel isn't like, a thing floating around with like the little wings and a little halo.
At least not yet. Yeah.
Not yet. That's later.
Mm-hmm.
And these are messengers of the deity. And one of the questions that isn't clear to me ever is whether humans recognize that these are non-human entities, right? And again, we like to think of there's God. And there's humans, and there's sort of nothing in between. But Ghostbusters taught us that that's not true,
right?
And that there's stuff in between. And the biblical text has these in-between things. So you've got this notion that you can have entities that are neither this nor that, whereas it's harder for us, and that's that binary thing, right? You're either a god or you're human,
right?
But you've got these sort of pseudo
things,
kind of things, and they tend to be in liminal spaces, right? Okay, so they show up in Sodom, and Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom, and he gets up to greet them, and he bows to the ground before them.
So he sees something about these two, and he's like, let me bow down.
Yeah. He's like, there is no way you guys are sleeping out here tonight, right? And so Lot seemingly knows that his neighbors are possibly problematic.
He knows it's not explicit here, at least not yet, but he knows that stuff goes down and he doesn't want
that to happen to these guys. Right. And so whether he knows that they're quote unquote angels or not, I don't know, but he certainly, and whether he is sitting at the gate because he tries to protect anybody that comes into the city or because he doesn't have a job and, or because he likes the gate, or whether he has a sense that these guys are coming and he needs, like, did Abraham, call him on his cell and say, hold on, we got guys coming. But there he is, and presumably nobody else is there. And again, Lot is not from Sodom, right?
Right, and they refer to him as a foreigner later.
Correct, and that becomes an issue for them, right? And so this whole notion of foreigners, and that's a big trope in the ancient world and in the modern, right, is people who you don't know and look different are scary. And he says, you know, come stay the night and bathe your feet, and then you can go on your way. And they're like, no, we're going to stay here.
No, no, no. We're going to kick it in the square in the center over there. It's fine.
We're good.
And he's like, and he was like, no, please.
Right.
In the Hebrew, is there a sense that he's like, no, 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 yo, yeah. you cannot
yeah, yeah,
stay
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He really is like, oh, no, you really don't want to stay here. It says that he also prepares food for them.
King James says, and he made them a feast
yeah.
and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat.
Yeah. So, and of course, it's,
which angels can eat, by the way, if these are
yeah.
pseudo deity can, things.
That's right.
They can eat.
Apparently they can eat. Well, and it's funny because the word is mishte, which is often translated as feast, but it comes from the root shata, which is to drink.
Hmm.
Right. Possibly even alcohol. Are they eating or are they drinking?
Right.
I don't know if it makes a difference, but it could, just knowing how people act when they're drunk. I've seen people like that.
I've heard stories.
I've read about it. Okay, so they have not even gone, right? They haven't even lain down, and all of a sudden these townspeople, the men of Sodom, young and old, all the people to the last man.
So does every single man in this town come outside Lot's, gather around Lot's house?
Was everybody kung fu fighting? And the thing is, I have a friend who we debate this all the time. The song says everybody was kung fu fighting. Therefore, everybody was kung fu fighting, right? And it's that I don't think everybody was kung fu fighting, but the narrator tells me that they were all there, young and old, right?
All right, so this next verse is a big one. This is the...
Yeah, it's a biggie.
And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them.
They're asking to have sex with this. And again, that's why it seems pretty clear that it's just the men. They want to know them, right? And Lot goes out. You kind of have to wonder is if this is how they, did they do this to Lot also? Have they had their way with Lot?
Mm-hmm.
Is Lot a foreigner? And so they don't, but these guys are presumably for. So mm-hmm. you have to wonder what happened with slash to him. And he goes out and they don't seem interested in him.
He goes out, shuts the door.
Behind him.
And he's like, don't do this.
Right. And again, they've come under the shelter of my roof. And so that's why this scene happening so quickly after they arrive suggests that either Lot regularly protected people who were coming to visit
mm-hmm.
in Sodom or whatever, but knew that this was something that could happen. So in line 7, he says, please, right? And so here this text translates as, I beg you. There's a particle, na, that is a sign of entreaty that sometimes gets translated and sometimes it doesn't. And it's really interesting to see when people say please and when they don't. You'd be surprised where it appears and it no one translates it. Now, So as a parent, I hear please, right? I hear please.
Right.
Did they ask nicely? Right? And the game is use the magic word. Did you ask? Right?
Right.
And the reason why is that the difference between a command and a request is please. Lot says please, right? And line 7, V'yomer, al na, please don't, my brothers, right? Do
wow.
this bad thing.
So Lot, in his first attempt at defense, he comes out and he pleads.
Right. And the difference between a command and a request is na in Hebrew oftentimes, right?
Wow.
Yeah, kind of a big deal. Again, for a person who hears please, right? And there's no way my kids are going to boss me around. You ask nicely and then I'll do it, right? And so for him to be asking
right.
nicely, right? It doesn't always work. And then he offers, right? I have two daughters, right? Like they didn't know he's been living there for since they were born. They know that these strangers are here, but they don't know about his two daughters. Please again, he says, Hine na li, right? Behold, please to me, right? There are two daughters who have not known a man. I'll please bring, and he uses na again, right? Like he's, please, I'll bring them out to you. and you can do to them what is good in your eyes, right? And this phrase, to do what's good in your eyes, whenever somebody does what's right in their eyes, it's wrong, right? Like, right. It's never right, right? It's never right. And the point seemingly is that people aren't really good at figuring out, like, what is good in their eyes is usually a bad idea. And that's why the Israelite deity gives them the book of Leviticus and parts of Exodus and Numbers, because they need law.
Explicit laws. Right? Yeah, like, really specific things.
Right. Like, let's just be clear. That may look good to you, but it's not a good idea. So don't do it. Right?
Right.
And that seems to be, that's a trope throughout the biblical text. So I haven't found a place where doing something that looks right in your eyes is a good idea. So now they're really pissed, and they're threatening to do even worse.
So not only did Lot's method not work, but it aggravates the situation.
It aggravated the crowd.
And the crowd becomes active and tries to break down the door and come inside.
Yes. Now they're really mad, right? And there's all this stuff about crowd psychology, so it's not hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they do this funny thing. It's unclear exactly. So the men, right, who have the visitor guys, the angels, right? But here they're called the men, right? They send out their hands and they somehow bring Lot to them. Inside a house, and they close the door, right? And how they manage to do this, it, like, the logistics aren't clear, which is maybe part of it, because if they're angels, they're doing some kind of spectacular and, like, you know, magical, as it were.
Blinded by the light. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So they did something, and the people, these men couldn't see.
Yeah, and they can't find the door, right? So they're doing, I don't know, you know, they've got a searchlight. I don't know what they're doing, but the bringing Lot in seems kind of magical. But the spotlight thing, they can't even find the door anymore, right? And this is pre-electricity, right? So, you know, they've done something. Again, the beautiful thing here is that the angels, as it were, they make sure that Lot's daughters are fine. So then the men say, and now we're talking presumably, right, in line 12. About the angels, right? But again, they're called the men, right? They've been the men sort of repeatedly. Since line one where they were messengers, but evermore than the men, right? So here the men ask Lot, Od mi lacha, who else do you have here, right? Like, do you have people here?
Are they asking that because they don't know? Are they asking to test? Is it an ironic question, or is it?
I think we dispelled this notion of an all-knowing,
omnipotent
guy in the garden, because he didn't know where they were, right? Right, this entity didn't know where they were because they were naked, right, and they were hiding. So that notion that the Israelite deity knows everybody and where everybody is it's not working.
So they're asking Lot.
Yeah,
they're doing reconnaissance.
I think they're asking.
And to summarize, so these two guys come into town. The people of Sodom, the men of Sodom, find out they're there. They come around Lot's house, and Lot says, "I got this. Let me try." Goes out there and, "Please, please, 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 don't do this." Doesn't work. Makes them more angry. The two men snatch him in the house real quick. Strike one. Let's do some magic and get out of this situation currently. And then now we're on to the next kind of thing. Do you have anybody else here?
Right. And so, and then he seemingly does. And they say, and that's the other thing, is who else do you have? Get them out of here, right? Like, you have got to get out of here.
Now.
And you've got to take them with you, right? And so in line 13, they are fairly clear. Ki and mashritim, we're going to destroy, but like, Shachat, I didn't bring my dictionary with me, shame on me. But like a shochat is like a like the butcher, right? Like,
yeah, I remember talking about this.
Yeah, right. Like, we're gonna like, right? Like, this is ugly. So
we're gonna butcher this place. We're gonna massacre this place.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna do, right? And they're really clear that that's what we're gonna do, right? And here's where we know categorically that they're angels, right? Because they tell him, right? They tell Lot that Israelite deity sent us to destroy it. If he was confused as to who they were when they came in, and if he was still confused after the whole light show, now it's kind of overt, right? Subtlety is really not their strong suit at this point, right? So at this point, you know, he's like, oh, okay. So he goes and he speaks to, and it argues, and the wording is kind of funny. Lot goes and he speaks to the sons-in-law, the ones who took his daughters, right? And took as in like Mary, right? And he says, you know, we got to get out of here, right? And so it appears that either he had other daughters who were married to people in the city, or another possibility is that these two daughters were had arranged marriages, but they hadn't actually married mm-hmm. them yet. When we get to eventually, what verse do we want to get to eventually?
26.
When we get to 26, it's going to matter how you view this, because if you think that Absolutely. He has daughters who are in the city married to these other guys, then when they leave, they have left children behind.
There's a painting called The Destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by the 19th century romantic painter John Martin. You should Google it. I'll give you a second. The Destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by John Martin, 1852, just 2 years before he died. Okay, you got it? Take a close look. What do you see? Maybe your eyes wander toward the cacophony of swirling reds and yellows as brimstone rains from the sky. In the background, buildings crumble as the city, engulfed in flames, is destroyed. In the foreground, you can see Lot fleeing with his two daughters. And you probably noticed, on a cliff below, Lot's wife, distracted by the fury of destruction. She's struck by a bolt of lightning. In the book, The Bible as Visual Culture, John Harvey discusses the issue of conflation in this painting. The use of a lightning bolt suggests that Lot's wife was converted into a pillar of salt instantly. But this interpretation isn't found in the original text. There's no mention of time. It doesn't mention exactly how she became a pillar of salt. It's an error that might go unnoticed. Those of us who weren't taught to ask questions and think critically might miss it altogether. And that's the goal of this podcast, to figure out where and how the various interpretations of Scripture occur. As we'll discuss in a moment, Lot's wife might not even have known not to look back. And on top of that, she might have daughters and other children back there. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get back to Lot.
People don't listen to Lot.
No one listens to Lot, right? He's like, come to my house. Nah, no, really. Come to my house. No, okay, fine. We want them. No, don't. No,
please,
really,
please, please.
Really. We want, yeah. They right. No. Like nothing. No one ever listens to him and it never happens, right? And so here also, he does not seem to be able to convince them of anything.
He doesn't
right?
seem like an authoritative guy.
No.
He doesn't speak in commands. He doesn't convince anybody. He doesn't move fast. He's not an active person.
He doesn't convey instructions
yeah.
very thoroughly.
Right.
And so even here, like in 15, right, in the morning, they say to him, right, get up, right? And this is a command, right? There's no please. The angels are not saying please, right? They say, kum, get up, kach, which means take, right? Like, kum, kach, no, please, pretty please. I'm suggesting it's in your best, just get up.
And by the way, they're saying wake up. He didn't convince his sons and came home and went to sleep. And remember when I said the city was going to be butchered?
Right. And right. So presumably, you know, you might have left, at night, although people don't leave cities at night because it's scary out there. But I would agree with you. It's dawn. He should be up and out and packed. Right. Take something with you, too. Right. So they say, get up and take your wife and your two daughters who are with you, lest you get caught up in this thing of the city. Right. And he still doesn't. Right.
Verse 16. And while he lingered.
Right. He's still not out of there. Right.
So that's this is strike two.
Well, I don't know. I think we're at like four or five. You know, like,
I don't know.
Like, are you having strike A, you know, A1, A2,
right,
A3,
right?
Like, it feels like we're well out of strikes here. The men, right, who are now the angels, right, we think it's still these same guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
They take him by the hand, right? They grab him by the hand and the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, right? To get them to get out of there, right? They literally have to seize him, right? And again, this is the Israelite deity being nice, right? Which sometimes the Israelite deity doesn't, sometimes not so much, right? Okay, so then, and this becomes really important, right? Because now we're at 17, right? Mm-hmm. This is where the command is issued, right? And it happens upon their exiting of the city. And they say, run for the hills, right? Run for your life, right? And don't look behind you. It is to a masculine singular person. Al tabit achrecha. That is a masculine singular person. So, again.
If there was a group of them there, and there's a crowd, and these two angels are giving a command to a crowd, it would read differently than what is there now.
Correct. Either the wife and daughter aren't listening, but even if they were, right, if it said, you singular, don't drink anything, right? You mm-hmm. masculine singular. Does that mean I can't have something to drink?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, right? And it's not clear, but it is masculine singular. If they were talking to the group of them, you would think that they would say, look at whatever you guys do, don't look back,
right?
But that's not what is said. And that's actually a linguistic problem, right? Is to whom is it referring, right?
Right.
And then we don't always know. Okay, so whatever you do, don't, you know, get out of here and don't look back and don't stop. And Lot says to them, right? So what strike are we on?
Oh, yeah, well, I thought we were on two.
Yeah, we're on like problem like yeah. 35, sorry. So Lot says to them, please, sirs, you've been really nice and stuff, but it's really far. Like, I don't want to go that far. Can't I just go a little closer? Right? And they're like, fine. Just get out of here. Right? But I mean, come on, Lot. You know, like, we're going to destroy the town. Get out. Okay, fine. I'm going to grab you by hand. Just get out. Run for the hills. Like, so when somebody says run for the hills, do you like, do you mean this hill or do you mean that hill?
Right.
I'm sorry. Could you be explicit about the hill?
Lot it seems to be talking in the sink like
right.
of himself. I will not make it.
Like
I don't want to die. I this. So is this conversation never, happening like away from?
Well, so that's the question, right? Where are these women or do these women just not matter? Right. Because
wow.
they the mm. thus far, they have not seemed to matter excessively.
No names.
And the angels aren't talking to them, but the angels at least are like,
they do
get
grab
them
their hands.
Out of here. And they grab their hands and they take them out and they tell Lot to take them. And they have to say, and take, don't just you go, right? Like they have to remind them that you have to take your wife and the two daughters that remain with you. And that's why I think that there
so
are
they
other
are important.
Daughters, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right?
I'm on board
with that.
I think
there are other daughters because take the ones that are with you because you obviously failed miserably at getting the other ones out of there, right?
Yeah.
So here they are going to wherever they've decided, right? Because here Lot's negotiating with which hill to go to, right? Or what city, right? And they're like, seriously, hurry, right? You've got, you know, like I have a job to do and I can't do it until you're out of here. So like just get out of here, right?
I cannot do anything until you're gone.
I'm not paraphrasing. I'm actually, you are 100% correct. Right, but I'm trying to get to line 26,
right?
So the sun rises, right? And they enter this town.
Can we assume that all this is right before dawn?
I think so, which makes it seem like they left.
Right.
The timing is all off, right? So if they left between dawn breaking and the sun rising,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought that dawn was like, I don't know, the 20 minutes before the sun rose.
That's what I thought too.
Maybe they shoved them along. I don't know. I don't know how close the OR was. So fire and brimstone, it's raining and those cities are annihilated. The entire plain, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing left and there's not even vegetation, right? And if that's why a lot of people argue that it's about why does the area around the Dead Sea look so
right.
like it looks.
Right.
Because it's...
It's very salty.
Yeah, it's pretty desolate down there. Anyway, so then we get to 26. Dun, 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 dun. Right? And what do we learn
here? And this
here?
Is it.
And
let me read it. I'll read it in English first.
Read
in King
it in
James.
English. Okay.
19:26. But his wife looked back from behind him,
yep.
and she became a pillar of salt.
Yep. And that's actually not bad. So she turns back from behind him. So she presumably is, he's in front of her then, right? Mm-hmm. And she turns back. And he, and so I guess maybe if he, if she was in front of him and he saw her turning back, he could have stopped her. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I mean, well, the I think this is read as, it's typically read as instantaneous, I think. And I think art supports that. I brought up the painting by
yeah.
John Martin. The artist actually painted in a lightning bolt, almost striking her as she turns, yeah. which suggests visually that is an instantaneous, quick thing. So there's
yeah.
a conflation of time there. But there is no indication of time in the original text. She could have tarried behind and mourned and been crying and stayed behind a half hour or an hour. If you were, I mean, if people hike with somebody, you're not always all together. You're in a line and sometimes, you know, especially if it's a group. But there is no insinuation of time in
nope.
the text.
Nope. Because by the time we get to 26, right, they're already wherever they're going to be. So you kind of get the sense that they're where they're supposed to be or they're really close to it,
I
right?
didn't think about that.
You're going to this place and you hear all this commotion behind you. Who doesn't turn around, right?
There's family back there.
There's presumably there's her daughters, at least.
Yeah, Genesis 19:26. I've heard at, we call them midnight or watch night services in church, but that is like, it's probably the most prominent verse for
wow.
looking towards your future and advancing and don't
wow.
be attached to the things of last year and move ahead.
Wow.
But I mean, it's even more unfortunate if she did not know not to look back.
Right. If the command was not given to her. Right. And that's what's unclear is she never speaks. The only action that she does is to turn around. I think it's the only verb where she's the subject.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the only thing she really does.
It's the only thing that she does. If she is from Sodom, if she, her children are in Sodom, if she wasn't given the command, it's her fault, really?
Well, and on top of that, strike 20 strikes from Lot. This didn't work. Try this. Dude, hurry up.
Right.
Like, it's even more unfortunate that this
right.
happened to her, considering one, she didn't get the command, possibly, and then two, you know, Lot's not a totally competent, active dude.
Well, and he offers his the two daughters left at home who don't haven't known a man to a mob. He doesn't move quickly to save his family. He possibly doesn't communicate, right? Because you don't hear him speak to his family at all. You actually have the messenger angels like physically grabbing them. Then we're supposed to assume that they should think that their dad's going to take care of them after this point.
You want me to follow you? After all that, I'm supposed to follow you?
And no one ever looks at it from their perspectives. No one ever looks at it from their perspectives. This particular story, as we said, makes a certain amount of sense and simultaneously doesn't make any sense at all. Is the story that has classically been told to us that Lot's wife is bad because she looked back and homosexuality is wrong. And this isn't actually even homosexuality. This is rape, which is different. But let's not let details get in the way of our
proper understanding.
Right, that's it. The beauty of this story, and I would argue, you know, the entire Hebrew Bible, but Genesis in particular, right, is it's so rich and it can mean so many things depending on how you subtly translate one word versus another and how, where you're standing in the story. And that can be when in your life or when in some physical space or like it looks different sort of every time you tweak one little thing. And so that's why context also matters, right? What comes before and what comes after. Whereas other chapters break down differently, chapter 19 kind of sits by itself. Could it function on its own? And if it did, what then that would mean something radically different than what we discussed today because we talked about the whole architecture of it fitting in.
Well, Doc, yeah. You've done it again.
I got to 26.
Mind yeah. blown.
There we go.
Oh, thanks for sitting down and talking about
all this. Right. That was fun. I know you love Lot.
Well, we've done it again, y'all. We asked some questions and got some context, which yielded even more questions. Is this story about resisting the temptation to turn back and look at destruction? Is it about an unfortunate miscommunication that ends tragically for Lot's wife? Or is it about something else entirely? Let me know what you think. Send me an email, genie@geniedees.tv. I always love hearing from you. From Studio B3 at Claremont Graduate University, my name is Genie, and join me next time for some scripture. Unearthed.